which is the law. So in the Old Testament, that the center of their faith is nothing but the Ten Commandments, the law. Okay? That's why in the Old Testament, the way to worship the law at the end is always about rule and regulation, abiding by the rule and regulation. As we know that in Israel, when they set out in a camp, you have the tribes surrounding the tabernacle, and in the tabernacle is centered in the holy place, and holy place centered in the Ark of Covenant, and Ark of Covenant is the tablet. Which means that at the very center of the entire camp of Israel, outside is the 12 tribes. Then center in tabernacle, then center in Holy the Holy, then center in the Ark of Covenant. At the end, the very core of their center of their life is nothing but the law. The law. That's why sometimes when you read the Old Testament, you will feel that their relationship to God is very rigid, very hard. Why? Sin. Sin separate them. Sin separate. Okay? But now, in the New Testament, in the new tabernacle, the heavenly tabernacle, this rod and the jar of manna are also in the same center. What does it mean? Please do that for your homework. Okay? That's your homework. But there's one thing I would like to mention before. The question I have for you is, now with the rod and the golden jar inside the Ark Covenant, what is the significance? Okay? That's something that I would like you to elaborate upon. But there's one thing I would like to remind you. Both Old and New Tabernacle, the only one that exists from the past until today, from the old until new, one thing that never changed, never leave, is still the law. Still the law. So even nowadays, in the New Testament, you have more than just the law. Doesn't mean you can remove the law. In the New Testament, as we are talking about freedom, mercy, grace, all these beautiful, wonderful, tender things that we enjoy as a Christian, never forget that the tablet will never remove from the Ark of Covenant. Okay? So the law abides. The law abides. The law is still in there. The tablet of the Ten Commandments never leave the center. Never leave the center. Okay? But nowadays in our generation, we look around in the so-called Christian society. We pay so much attention and emphasis about mercy, grace, love, miracle, and signs, even to the point we feel that we could just abolish, throw away all the rule and regulation, throw away the law. Why? We feel that, law is to bind you. We need to be free. God's love covers everything. So whatever I do, God will always forgive me. Okay? Sounds so easy, so transcend. Oh, you know what? God's mercy, God's power, God's blood cover everything. So it doesn't matter how I live my life. I can always be safe. Okay? This is a very common, very general theory in many denominations nowadays. Okay? But don't you forget, tablet always there. From the past until the present, even to the future, one thing never gone is the tablet. No tablet, no abidance with the Lord. Okay? That's why in Gospel John, that Jesus Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandment. Alright? So, please do remember, it was never removed. Alright? So, this is the comparison between the two tabernacles. Now, we shall continue. Please turn to chapter 10. See, we are making progress. 10 minutes every chapter, and we'll do it. All right, let's go to chapter 10. As we say that from chapter 1 to chapter 9 is all about comparison. And then from chapter 10 to chapter 13 is describing now you who knows the Lord, who knows that Lord is great, Lord is the best, Jesus is above all. Now you know, now you learn. What shall you do? Okay, so let's go to chapter 10. In chapter 10, they are reminder. Okay, so in chapter 10, now, reminder for the new, now you are a new member, a new life. Okay, by following Jesus, you differentiate yourself from the old life. You are having a new life. Okay, now you are a believer. You follow Jesus. However, there are few things that we need to be careful. Chapter 10, verse 22 says that, let us draw near with the true heart in full assurance of faith, having our heart sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our body washed with the pure water. So now, we are clean because, again, every chapter is related. In chapter, was that chapter 9? No, that's not chapter 9. Is it chapter 9? About the tablet. Yes, chapter 9. Huh? In chapter 9, now because of the blood, the curtain is split. Okay, because of blood. So in chapter 10, it starts talking about you. You are the one washed clean. You are the one that's the new priest. You are a new priest. You are washed clean. You are able to enter into the sanctuary. You are able to pray to God on your own. Then in chapter 10, verse 22 says that you are cleaned. But 23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Okay? So number one, you talk about if you want to continue in the new life. Number one, do not waver. Do not move back and forth and back like the Israelites. They leave Egypt, they want to go back to Egypt. Okay. You know that in the New Testament, there are two persons who were described. One is called Herod. Herod, King Herod, huh? King Herod, he put John the Baptist in the jail, but he really liked John the Baptist. He put him in jail, but he believed that he is a righteous man. Okay? He loved to talk to John the Baptist, but he never believed in what he said. Or should I say that? He likes to talk to him. But he doesn't want to. It's not that he doesn't believe. He doesn't want to believe. He doesn't want to. There's a difference. You don't believe is very simple. I just don't believe this. You don't want to believe is you know he's making sense. But by believing him, I might need to sacrifice a lot, change a lot, suffer a lot. So I choose not to. I don't want to believe. The price is too high. Okay? So that's why Jesus Christ called King Herod, called him a fox, cunning fox. Okay? He's always choose and pick, trying to find out what is the political correct. Right? Like for him, in his heart, there's a right and wrong. He knows right and wrong, but he rather select what is more politically correct that might benefit him, even against his personal preference. Okay? So that's why I say that he liked John, but he put him in jail. He loved to talk to him, but he never wanted to believe in him. And he always always asked John to talk. And at the end, he knew that John was innocent, but at the end, he chopped his head off. Okay? So this is King Herod, always wavering. Always going back and forth. Yeah, I know you are making sense, but I don't really want to believe it. Yeah, this Jesus, oh, that, you know what? This is his life. Always wavering, right? So number one, he told us that if you remember what we say, choose if you want to be a rich man or you want to be Lazarus. Please, even at this age, please make up your mind. Do not be like Demas. You wait until too late, and then you cannot finish the journey. Right? You do not wait until you are too late to love the world, but you still love the world for whatever the reason is. If you want to love the world, by all means, go love the world right now. If you do not want to love the world, if you want to go to heaven, by all means, today, start from now on, be different. Dare to be different. You suffer in these few decades, and then you inherit everlasting glory. Or you live in a sinful life for a few decades, and then you die eternally in condemnation. Fine. It's a choice. Either one. Make your choice. Do not, don't you ever, ever that. You are a Christian, but you are not really living like a Christian. You go to church, but at the same time, you are always wavering in between. So at the end, you didn't get to enjoy the world. But when you die, you didn't get to go to heaven. That's pathetic. Right? So one way or the other, make up your mind. If you can get both, you want to be rich man on earth and then Lazarus when you die. It's not impossible. As I say, Abraham did it. Abraham did it. Maybe some of you, I know they are church member. They are not, I wouldn't say many, but I do know there are some church member who are extremely successful on earth, but you can never tell. Because they live in a very plain, simple life. They are always humble and gentle. In their heart, they do not care about the worldly possession, but their heart is always yearning for their heavenly hope. Many years ago in Taiwan, there was a very, very, very wealthy elder. Very wealthy. He was one of the most wealthy person in Taiwan. Okay, but when I was very young, my father worked in Taiwan GA, the old Taiwan GA, and I got a chance to meet him. He lived in GA. He actually got his own small rooms in GA, in Taiwan GA. He was helping church work, helping to teach class as well. The first time I met him, I don't know who he is. He was dressing in those white undershirt with holes everywhere. And then he saw me, oh, little one, and he dragged me. He said, hey, come, I got something for you. And then I went to his like small, tiny room with those very hard wooden board bed. And then underneath, he pulled out a small basket of plums. And he wanted to give me some and share. He wanted to share his wealth with me. For that's his wealth. Because he told me that some member from this mountain church, they came all the way to visit me. And then they brought me these plums for me to eat. And in my heart, the first reaction is, may I know when? When did they come? What is that white thing on those plums? It has been under the bed for a long time, I'm telling you. Yeah, maybe he was trying to make like dry plum or something. Otherwise, I wouldn't even give a try. Yeah, but you know what? I didn't know, but he lived a very, very simple, down-to-the-earth life. I didn't know that he was one of the most in that generation, he's probably the most wealthy TJC member. But his money is always for what? For God to use. For God to use and also for charities. Okay, so you know what? Yes, can you be Abraham? Sure. But you have to pray very hard about it. Not pray very hard so that you can be rich, but pray very hard so that if you become rich, one day you become rich, you are able to keep your original heart. That's very crucial. Okay? So number one, he says that, please do not waver. Once you decide to take on this journey to heaven, please set up your mind and then go all the way without looking back. For the Lord said, Jesus Christ said, for those who hold the plum, not the plum. What is that thing? Plow. All right. For those who hold the plow and looking back are not worthy the heavenly kingdom. So do not waver and do not look back to the past. Do not. Don't you ever say, oh, life in Egypt, so good. Wow. You know what? If I didn't believe in Jesus, I could do this. I could do that. Just like my friend. You know what? That's called wavering. And that is one of the things that will that God will be most angry about. One of the things that God will be very, very furious. Okay? Number two. In verse 25 says that not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, okay? But exhorting one another. Okay, I got this one right. All right. So second, do not stop attending service. Do not stop joining service. You know, some people come and say, hey, if I am here, if listening to the sermon, inside and outside, what's the differences? Here and home, what's the differences? You right? You know, people might say, hey, you know what? We have like we have this online broadcasting. All right? In church, you know, sometimes people's cell phone ring, sometimes people move around. People, if I am at home, I can be very concentrated. So I feel it's better for me to stay at home and hold service in front of my computer. Really? Do you say that really out of the bottom of your heart? Or you just saying that and finding excuse to justify your own laziness? Again, at the end of the day, your intention. Oh, nobody knows. Nobody knows why you say certain things. But we should not forget. The Bible says that God sees through everyone's heart. God knows why you say something. God knows what's your true intention in bringing up certain question. Okay? God knows. If you are asking this because you truly want to know the differences, thank God. It's good that you contemplate about your faith. All right. If you bring this up, just want to justify yourself for doing certain things for argument's sake, then please don't bother. Don't bother. God will deal with you. Okay? God will deal with you. So don't come and ask me. All right? So intention is everything. If you are far and away and you try your very best already, so every Sabbath you are far away and then you with a very sincere heart and diligence, you sit there getting ready for the online service with your sincere heart, God will shower His blessing upon you. Yes, you are attending, you are keeping Sabbath. But if you have a chance to be in the house of the Lord, but you choose not to, then you answer to God yourself. You don't have to come and convince me. You don't need to convince me because I'm nobody, okay? I'm nobody. What is the good? You know, sometimes we see that young people like trying to get approval by the pastor. Okay? Just like, oh, you know what? Pastor say, okay. You don't answer me on the judgment. You do not answer to me on the judgment day. Okay? On the judgment day, when you say to Jesus, they say, Pastor say, okay. And Jesus say, well, I just talked to him. He is in trouble right now. And now you are in trouble too. Okay? So you know what? Well, I'm not saying do not trust the pastor. What I'm trying to say is that you are fully liable for your own salvation. And you know that sometimes we have young people bring questions. Only semi-question. You take out certain parts of the entire story and you purposely leave certain fact outside of the story, and then you tell the pastor, and then the pastor, judging by the story, the portion you share, we say, yeah, it makes sense. Then you go around and tell everybody and say, oh, you know what? See, this is the thing. And then pastor say, okay. Okay? We have, you know that you don't do it. Don't do it. No good for you. No good for me. I won't be in trouble. But let me tell you, I won't be in trouble. You will. I might be in trouble on earth dealing with people, or your parents might come and say, did you say that to my son? Or the church council, or some phone call from the big room. They might say, did you say that? And I might be in trouble, but I won't be in trouble up there. For I make judgment according to what you say. But when you hide and disclose, and it did not disclose certain key factor, and just use, oh, you know what, pastor approved. Good luck. You have to deal with God yourself. All right? So, here, when opportunity presents, if, I shouldn't say put opportunity, you have to do it. You have to come and join the service. For if the branch is severed from the trunk, the tree, once the branch is break off, what is the way for it? Only dry, die, and throw, and to be burned in the fire. Okay? So, unless you are in a special circumstance, you just can't. You are so far. You are 3 hours, 5 hours, 10 hours away. So, you do everything you possibly could. When you are on break, you fly over for spiritual convocation. Or you take day off for spiritual convocation. At home, every Saturday, you keep Sabbath in your own living room with sincerity. When you go to work, you listen to the sermon that you copy, you download. You know what? God sees it. And God will say, that's okay. You do continue to join the service. Okay? So, here says that, do not be cut off from the branch. And do not break yourself off from the tree. Okay? Number 3, verse 26. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, then there no longer remain a sacrifice for sins. Okay? Do not sin willfully. Number 3, you might feel this has nothing to do with you. Oh, come on, I never sin willfully. Hopeful. I do wish you will always stay in this way. We said earlier, this is the I generation. Which means that, who is your God? The God you worship very often is your self-ego. Your self-ego. So this is the generation of self-centered. This is a generation that only care how I feel, what I want, and sometimes, in order to get what we want, we might end up trying to overturn, throw away the traditional practice from the Bible or with the biblical background. You might say to the church, why? Does it have to be this way? Are you sure? How do you know that? Oh, you know what? Sometimes in order for people who try to gratify their own desire, they want to overthrow the tradition or the principle. Why? By removing the principle, then guilty no more. For example, in the church, we always emphasize marry in the law. Then you come and say, but you see that? They marry in the law, but their marriage collapsed. Failed. You see them? They did not marry in the law, but they are happily ever after. You see that? Marry a Gentile, but then Gentile later become a member and more fervent than ever. Okay? You know what? When you purposely, intentionally picking out all this special case to justify your own desire. Why? Because you actually have someone outside and you really want to convince that you know, you are not trying to convince the church. You are trying to convince yourself. Hey, I sacrifice my marriage for evangelism. There is no such a thing in the Bible. Bible, you have the style. There are three styles. This class should be for Pastor Timothy. Three styles in the Bible. One is the type of Adam God brought to him. Second one, the style of Jacob. He found his own, but with the permission of his parents. Oh, yeah, yeah. Isaac, well, there's one more, Isaac, huh? Isaac was arranged by the father. And Jacob, he found someone, but do you know how old he was at that time? I think he was about 60 years. 70. 70 is kind of old for that. Yeah. I don't remember, but I thought he was about 60 years old when he married. Yeah. All right, but anyway, he's very old. Oh, he left home at 40, so after. He's old. And you know, it's not about the age. It's not about the age. He got permission by his parents, right? His parents, his father say to him, go and look for yourself a wife, okay? He was in the very old age, like overripe. He's over the right age, and then he was permitted by the parents, okay? But in the Bible, we don't find marital evangelism, okay? So do not create your own version of the Bible in order to justify. Do not sin willfully, okay? Do not try to, you know, just, we all know our true intention, okay? So do not try to break the teaching of the Bible in order to justify yourself. It doesn't work. It might make you feel better on earth, but at the end, in heaven, you still have to deal with it, okay? So do not sin willfully, okay? Number four, in verse 32, but recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endure a great struggle with suffering. Number four, do not forget your past. Do not forget your past, which is what? Your history, your path, how God delivered you out of the filthiness. How God delivered you and dragged you out of the mud. Once upon a time, you were filthy, unclean, living in nothing but darkness, having nothing but desperation. But Jesus Christ pulled you out of Egypt, opened the Red Sea, and showered blessing in your life. So don't you forget don't you forget the old days, how you so desperately yearning for help and how God helped you in the past, okay? Number five, verse 33. Partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulation, and partly while you become companion of those who were so treated for... okay, so number five, do not forsake your companion. Do not leave your companion. Do not, well, whatever. Do not, because in here says that continuously, that you become a companion, okay? So, do not be selfish, all right? This is not really what I want, but my limitation in English couldn't find a better word. So this is not talking about, oh, I'm so selfish. I'm talking about, please do not only care for yourself. Oh, I'm good now. I'm safe now. I am fine. There are other people who are not fine. So remember the old days when you struggle, you fight. When you struggle with tears. You know that your counselor, when they were in your age, they suffer many suffering that you are going through right now. They went through it. So do not abandon your brothers. Do not abandon your companion. Means that now you are no longer in that struggle, you passed, all right? God opened the way for you. You are no longer in the age of struggle. You shall go back. You shall go back and help the new generation by sharing your struggle, by sharing your experience, by sharing how God delivered you. That's why your counselors are here. Everything that you feel, every way that you experience, most likely they all went through. Maybe some of it I went through as well. Okay? We are in different generation, but principle-wise, the struggle of the world, the temptation of the evil, is somewhat in principle the same. Okay? So what is the job of all the workers, all the counselors? Very simple. We are in here using our life as an example to tell you that if we can do it with the help of the Lord, you can do it too. You can do it too. If God helps us through the difficulties, God can help you too. Okay? So this is the sole purpose that we are in here. It's so that show you that in God, you can always find strength. Even in what you think is the most important, impossible moment. The most impossible moment, but God can still do it. Alright? So, do not, this is for the workers, and for every one of you, one day when you are no longer in NYTS, what I mean is you graduated. Alright? Once you're done with NYTS, some of you go to PMVP, and then you grow up, you go to work, you finish your school, you go to work, you have family, You know what? Remember today, and then say to yourself, once upon a time, I have counselor who use their life to share with me and carry me through the dark moment. What have I done the same for the younger generation? All right. You know that year after year, we have been talking about it with the pastor. Year after year, we have less and less people willing to come out to serve as a counselor. For both SSC, RHDS, NYTS, and everything. Why? Oh, you say you are busy. Wow. Well, we're not busy when we're young. You say you have to study. What? Like we don't study when... Oh, I don't, but... Yeah. Other people do, okay? You know what? Any excuse that you throw to us is nothing but a self-justification that you don't have to tell us because you only need to answer to yourself. Do you really, are you really that busy? Is it true that you just cannot, you cannot even spare 4 days, 5 days to help SSC? What's going on in here? You know that we are trying to recruit, but it's always getting more and more difficult every year. Why? Because now, after you work, you have limited vacation. And vacation is meant for who? For you. Alright? That's how it is. But some youth are not like this. For you, as you grow up, you have your counselor from SSC, RHTS, until today. You have your counselor. You think that they don't have to work? You think that they have like two months of vacation? You know that many speakers, as I know, pastors, our time in here, we are working. But you know what? There are some speakers in here, they have to take day off from their work. Using their own vacation, their own days off, in order to be here to share with you. And I really hope you remember that. Because one day, when God calls upon you, when opportunity presents, please say it to yourself before you answer and say, I'm very busy. Say it to yourself. Am I not obligated to do the same for my brothers? Okay? So, I know that some of you, one day when you are called to give to share, you might panic, you might be scared, you might like, and I'm very busy. Maybe it's not because you are busy, you are just scared. But please, gather your courage because the young generation needs you. Just like once upon a time in SSC, you need your counselor. You need someone that you can talk to. You need someone who understands. You need someone who is always there, who gives you a pat on the back, who grab you by the shoulder, who give you a big hug and say to you, don't worry, we pray together. One day, when opportunity calls, please follow your heart. And I did follow my heart. That's why I'm still in chapter 10. Let's all pray in silence.